Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Peter Paul Brazola, and I've got a little problem now here. I don't know what's going on, and hopefully, since this is Jesse Owens' remarkable accomplishment at the 1936 Olympics, which will play this audio excerpt.
Well, no. The French team gave the Olympic salute. The thousands of Germans in the stand mistook it for the Nazi salute, and they roared their approval. The Italian team passed in review. They paid their homage to Chancellor Hitler. But one, the United States flag has never been dipped. The men and women of Canada. This was the supreme moment for Chancellor Hitler. The German team passed in review. 600 men and women. Members of the military.
Thank you.
The Chancellor would now formally open the games. I proclaim open the Olympic Games of Berlin, celebrating the 11th Olympiad of the modern Olympic era. Symbol of peace, would spread their message to the world. An invisible signal directs them over the marathon gate and the altar that will hold the Olympic flame. Now the great moment has come. The Olympic flame arrives at the stadium.
Controversial. Jim Thorpe, a Native American who went to school in Pennsylvania. It was a famous movie, Jim Thorpe, starring Burt Lancaster and I think Charles Pickford. And Jim Thorpe was in the Olympics, and then he went professional or something, and then he got disqualified. He died on this day. And then also who died on this day was Jesse Owens from Chicago. And Hitler refused to accept, you know, the fact that a black had won, two blacks, and was another one. And so when Jesse Owens came back, the United States gave an interview, and we have this part of the archives. Here it is.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, Bill, the biggest thrill in Germany was when I won the 100-yard dash, and the American flag went up, and they were playing the Star-Spangled Banner.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were all right, but it took too long to get them.
All right. Jesse, what is your immediate plan?
My immediate plan for the present time is that I'm going back home. I'm going back to the university to finish my year in college. I have another year, as you all know, and I want to get my degree in the end of June.
Will you turn professional?
Turn professional, I do not know. As I said before, I have another year in school, and I haven't any plans about turning professional whatsoever.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, my biggest thrill was when I won the 100-meter dash, and the American flag went up, and they were playing the Star-Spangled Banner, and we stood up there and salute, and it was really a marvelous day.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were fine, but it took a little bit too long to get them.
Well, that was Jesse Owens in his interview when he came back to the United States after winning. And it was another black, Ralph Metcalf, who later became a Chicago alderman, Democratic Party, of course. And, of course, I mentioned Jim Thorpe. Unfortunately, I forgot his name until just a few minutes ago. And it was a film starring Burt Lancaster, I think Charles Bickford, Jim Thorpe, great athlete, Native American. He also died on this day. Among the birthdays today are the great Italian painter Raphael, and then St. Teresa of Avila. She was a friend of Ignatius of Loyola, who started the Jesuit order, who were known as Soldiers of Christ. And then the famous Frenchman, Aristide Briand, was born today, and he was the French foreign minister who negotiated with the Kellogg. Frank Kellogg was Secretary of State in the Harding administration. Warren Harding doesn't get credit for a lot of things that he did. He started the Office of the Budget, quite a few things, even though he was Teddy Roosevelt's daughter called him a slob. Excuse me, I have a cold. But there was the Washington Naval Disarmament Conference in 1922, I think, and there was Britain, France, Italy, Japan, the United States, and they came up with a ratio of 5-5-3, I think, and 2, and the Japanese didn't like it. Yamamoto, I think, attended it. He was a Japanese Navy captain, also studied at Harvard, Anyway, this may have led to the Japanese were pissed, and this may have led to, in part, to World War II. And also, there was the controversy with General Billy Mitchell, who said that airplanes could sink battleships, and he was court-martialed and forced out of the military. Among the birthdays today, among the great, one of the greatest composers, not composers, but musical conductors, for 40 years, Wilhelm Mengelberg, built the Concertgebouw Orchestra in Amsterdam, one of the world's greatest orchestra. Anybody who was a conductor who was great conducted that orchestra. And he made the mistake of when Hitler, when the Nazis overran Holland and occupied Holland, he made a mistake of getting involved with them and playing orchestras, German orchestras in Germany, and playing for the Nazis. And after the war, the Dutch stripped him of his title as the conductor who in charge of the great orchestra, the Concertgebouw. He had also conducted the New York Philharmonic along with Arturo Toscanini. Neither one of them got along with each other. And Mahler, Mengelberg was a great friend of Gustav Mahler, and he sponsored a lot of great modern composers. Here's a piece of music I think we ought to play, because you don't hear this kind of music today. The musicians today are kind of, some of them are kind of flighty, and they've got good PR, but Mengelberg was really unique. Unfortunately, he made the mistake of mixing music with politics. Mengelberg performance that was unique, and probably no other conductor had his talents and his unique way of interpreting a piece. And of course, it was controversial. Toscanini was the opposite, and his birthday coming up in a few days also. Among the other great musicians today, Rosina Levine, born in Russia, she taught piano. Her husband and her were piano teachers and piano virtuosos. She taught at Juilliard School of Music, and anybody who's a classical pianist studied under her. She was famous, and she gave lectures on the proper way of sitting, how to pedal, all of that. And she taught Van Cliburn, who went to Russia in the late 50s to win the Tchaikovsky International Piano Competition. Recordings were made, and some of them are famous. Then he came back to the United States with Kirill Kondrashin, another Russian conductor and made some more recordings, and now Van Cliburn has his own competition down there in Texas. He has huge hands, which he shares with another musician who died today. Sergei Rachmaninoff had bear-like hands. He was also one of the greatest pianists in history. He left after the Russian Revolution and came to America and died in 1940, I think in Los Angeles. A couple of musicians today, Paul Whiteman, the guy who premiered Rhapsody in Blue as for jazz orchestra. He was born today. Another great pianist, Rudolf Serkin, who part of the Middle Europa Jewish musicians, came to America. His son is a jazz pianist. And then we have... Samuel Raymond, great voice. He came from Iowa, and he sings these deep basso voice parts in the classical operas. Among the other birthdays today, we have Spencer Kimball, who was the 12th prophet in the Mormon religion. I still don't understand how that works, but we may hear more of this if Romney wins the November election. We'll hear more about the Mormon way of life and what Mormonism really is. Among the great gritty authors, Nelson Algren was born today. He wrote Man with the Golden Arm, which is about a heroin addict starring Frank Sinatra. This is one of Frank Sinatra's vehicles where he came back from the dumps, this one and when he played in From Here to Eternity. Vice presidential candidate, a political animal, Edwin Muskie, who was governor, I think, of Maine, and he was U.S. senator and Polish extraction, and he was born today. And then we had another actor, Dirk Bogarde, whose probably his most famous film was not Petula, but Darling. Yes, it's about the lifestyle of British fast. Up-and-coming class of people during the 60s, a black and white film. And then here's a mover and shaker in politics, friend of Jimmy Carter, for another poll, Zinegbia Brzezinski was born today. And among the other deaths, as I should have brought up, were there was another assassination of a Roman emperor, Apuleius Helvis Petrix in 193, and then, of course, Sergei Rachmaninoff died on this day. Jim Thorpe died on this day. Jesse Owens died. And then those of you who remember the circuses, Barnum and Bailey, Emmett the Clown, Emmett Kelly, he died. And then the great French Jewish painter, Marc Chagall, died today. Excuse me. So these are among the birthdays today. And then among the interesting events, we had... Maria Trapp, who the Trapp family, Song of Music, or Song of Music, Mucus as it's known. She was the one, the Austrian family that fled Hitler's Germany, came to Vermont, set up a singing school. And Maria Trapp was the matriarch who kept the family together. Among the other one, the guy who invented the washing machine, Nate Briggs, or a washing machine, as early as 17th century. In 1799, New York abolished slavery, and then Ohio turned around and in 1804 restricted the movement of blacks. And then a president got censured by the U.S. Senate in 1834, Andrew Jackson, who hated the Bank of the United States because he considered them their prejudice against lending money to Western farmers. He withdrew all the federal funds from the Bank of the United States and got censored by the Senate, and, of course, he told them where to go and how to get there. And then we had, in 1845, there was the preface to the Mexican-American War, where Mexico cut off diplomatic relations with the United States. And then we had in 1854 another war, the Crimean War. Britain and France declared war on Russia. Russia wanted to bottle up Russia in the Black Sea and keep the Russian bear from coming into the Atlantic and the Pacific. And there was that horrible Crimean War in which we got Florence Nightingale and the charge of the Light Brigade. In 1866, the first ambulance was invented. And then every Christmas we see the Red Kettles, the Salvation Army in 1889. Was started, and then the great Czech patriot Thomas Masaryk became the president of Czechoslovakia, which was created after World War I from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And then this helped spies and people involved in espionage. The first microfilm was developed in 1922. And in 1939, Francisco Franco Generalissimo won, with the Nazi help and Italian help, he won the Spanish Civil War and was one of the longest-serving dictators and presidents, Caudillos, in Spain. Have you noticed all these lanes restricted to bicyclists? Well, this is a lot of people are beginning to realize that this has become the new leisure class or a two-wheel leisure class. These people don't pay insurance. They don't pay licensing fees. They have no license plates on these bicycles. Some of the states require this. They have no insurance if they hit somebody and injure them or kill them, which has recently happened here in San Francisco. They don't have safety devices. Remember years ago when you were a child, the tricycles had the little bells and they had the horns. And, you know, the kids warn you when they were coming your way. Well, we don't see that today. And these people are driving at night on their bicycles, and it used to be that only drug dealers used bikes at night because the cops couldn't catch them. So there's a growing question that it's time to start licensing these people, and we should apply the rules of the road to them. If you put your wheels on the road, you follow the rules of the road. But unfortunately, they've become a new component of society, and they have their own constituency, and it's anything goes and does and has. The Huffington Post ran an article on the Federal Hatch Act, which covers conflict of interest, which applies to people, public employees who handle federal funds. Well, this is the question that's come up on this Sheriff Merrick Karumi, because he was a supervisor or a councilman who was one of the people responsible for millions of dollars of federal funds and how they were dispersed here in San Francisco, or the patronage, and also working as in the district attorney's office, which reportedly received federal funds. And the question is, it's supposed to be a year or two separation before an employee who handles federal funds or an official then runs for an office which oversees federal funds or receives federal funds. And this issue has come up in Illinois. And a Huffington Post article, it's on the web, refers to this. So the question is, does the Hatch Act apply to this deposed San Francisco sheriff? He's got other problems as well. Excuse me. And now we got the Rick Santorum problem and the connection to Penn State. And people are asking, did he know Sandusky? And if he did he know what he was doing? And when he learned, if he learned what Sandusky was doing and Joe Paterno, did he try to protect children? How can he, if he knew this, how can he claim to be the conservative moral candidate when there's this type of cover-up? And this is not the first time this has happened. We had this problem here in San Francisco where a Canadian who lied about how he entered the United States and Canada, this Kevin Ryan, tried to be oh so moral and play Roman Catholic and all of that garbage, and then filed to become a U.S. District Court judge to replace another judge, and you know, playing I am pure and all that, and I'm competent, and I should be sitting on the federal bench. Well, when you looked in the guy's background and looked at his campaign contributions and the people that gave him money, you find pimps, prostitution, the international sex club, sex trade connections, video voyeurs who spy on not only military personnel and kids in their locker rooms and put this garbage on the web, but they were also spying on cops. So, you know, this raises the question, how can you claim to be moral when you ignore all these things, or if you know all these things and you participate in covering them up, which happened in the Kevin Ryan case. And it's still a crime. Also, this week is a week of infamy in California judicial history, where Stephen Neri was in the brig on the USS Carl Vinson. He had a midnight interrogation. He was suffering from post-traumatic stress from an AIDS-contaminated attempted male rape by this Juan P. Frey. He had a broken hand fighting off the rape, and he was interrogated aboard the USS Carl Vinson without a lawyer, either a JAG or a civilian lawyer, being present, which is mandatory in this type of situation. of U.S. The federal courts have ruled that because of the unique relationship of a subordinate, a private like to a sergeant or major, when these people are interrogated in a serious manner, because of their training, that they have to respond to questions or commands from their superior officer, that there is this tendency, and these military personnel have to have special rights because there are special duties. And so he didn't have a lawyer present when he was interrogated, not once but twice. So that's illegal. And then they forged papers to get him off the ship, and we'll publish the forged papers that an employee of the district attorney at the time, the corrupt Terrence Hallinan, forged an agreement to get him out of the brig and off the ship and into the prison, what they call city prison in San Francisco. He also usurped the executive authority of then Governor Wilson, or the governor of the state. Here's a guy who's an employee. He doesn't even have legislative authority or responsibility in the city of San Francisco. He's just on the payroll. So we'll publish those documents, and they were brought up in the federal courts, but because of we have clerks and staff attorneys who have their own agenda, and they have been altering the filing of cases. This happened also not only in San Francisco, which is part of the Ninth Circuit, but in Seattle, which is also part of the Ninth Circuit. So we'll be bringing those up because they're costing us American taxpayers millions of dollars, this kind of behavior and violations of military personnel's rights. We also, upcoming, will be, we just found our videos, which by accident we took videos of a two-wheel electric car. This surfaced during Fleet Week. We just found the videos and were misplaced, so we'll be putting them up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And then there'll be more. We'll have the guy who was the veterinary nutritional godfather of organic pet food. Did a long interview with Dr. Broderick a couple of years ago, and so we will play that. So also we will be broadcasting on alternate days on our other radio network. We're getting it set up. It's amicusveritas.org. So you're welcome and invited to continue to go to our YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and we'll be back Friday, and we'll end with the usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Well, we'll be back Friday, the last Friday of this month. Speak for Paul Verzola, and then again, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site and also amicusveritas.org. Good night.